Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome on into The Point After, folks, here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. The Saints falling 34-0 to the L.A. Rams. A rough one to watch out there today. UGLY, you ain't got no alibi. You ugly, as they would say in high school football. And it kind of applied today. I know you say very often, Bobby, it's like it looks like it was the varsity playing against JV. And even though the Rams had their second teamers in as well in this matchup, it certainly looked like the Saints were overwhelmed the whole game.
Well, their JV beat all JV, whatever. I don't know. That was so ugly. Bottom line, the Rams backup kicked our backup's ass. I mean, it was a joke, kind of. And then I don't know who's the kicker going forward. Remember I said it could be if you're in a hard-fought game, and it could come down to whether you're going to make or miss a kick. It might be three or four games whether you'd win six or have a chance to win nine or, you know, represent the NFC South. I don't know who our kicker is. Tanner Brown, it should be 100-100. That's like an extra point, a 39-yard field goal.
Might be on another team's roster at this point, I'm feeling.
Yeah, whoever the kicker is right now. Now, I thought it was kind of ironic that, you know, we really have it. We don't want to play at SoFi, the bottom line. We want to play in Anaheim. We need to move the games against the Rams to play in Anaheim, where we always had success. I guess they consider that still part of L.A., but not at SoFi. That's bad karma, just bad results all the way around. You know, we've only played the Rams now five times in the preseason, and it was the rubber match. It was 2-2. Now they're up 3-2. And I kind of jokingly said this before the game. The last time the Saints shut out an opponent, the franchise's last preseason shutout was ironically against the Rams, who won 28-0. So it was an eight-year, almost a decade payback. They whooped us. Now 34-0. So, you know, you think, how can you get shut out in preseason? You think you'd almost have to score by accident. Well, you know how you get shut out? If twice you're inside the five-yard line and you don't score, 100-yard pick six, Spencer Rattler, he was staring down the receiver right there. He should know better than that. He's too good for that, too much experience. If he'd even hit the guy in the flat on the flare, okay, if you, like, staring down right here and you could see that they're going to break on the ball, you got to go to the flat. And you're going to score that way with the running back. But he wanted to fit it in there. And the bottom line, you can't fumble on the two-yard line running back. I don't care. Oh, they punched it out. Good play by the defense. No, a good play if we do it, but not a good play if it goes against you. I was excited last week against the Jags. We were +1 turnover margin. Well, today we're -3. You're not beating anybody. Who you think's the worst team? I don't know. Like whether you're playing the Jets or whoever you might perceive as the worst team, you're -3, you're not winning, even when the games count or they don't count. So now we're -2 for the season. That's not good. You remember I told you, Steve, this was kind of before the game, and the reason why the Jaguars, and if you look at it, why they were, and the Rams, why, you know, they were in the playoffs. So when you look at this one thing, and it's going to be preseason, regular season, the Jaguars are +13, and the Rams are +11. We are -4 for the season. Well, that's, we're -3. You know, you're just not going to win. And I'm going to get to the penalties. That's like, we're so undisciplined. And I think penalties, Sean Payton even said that, that's always a reflection of the coach. I don't know if you need to be a more hard ass or whatever it takes. You cannot have those penalties, but I'm going to get to that. Total first downs, I didn't know if it was even this close. Remember, what we had four at halftime, and then it still was more than 2-1. They had 28. They were on pace to have about 40 first downs. Ended up with 28. We had 13, so more than 2-1. Usually we've been outstanding on third down defense. We were terrible. I thought Drew Brees was playing for the Rams. They were 54% on third down. We're not getting off the field. That's why they're winning the time of possession and really dictating. It seems like at the beginning of the game, we hardly had the ball. You know, and then if you look at it, and I think Deuce was talking about this, the very first place, look, I mean, Kendre Miller, plus 5, plus 6, boy, nice cut, good vision, nice block by Jeremy Wright. And then all of a sudden, you can't hit nobody in the pile. I mean, I think, to me, that's no big deal, but they want to protect the players. So we get a personal foul, and then it went all downhill from that when that occurred. Now, again, goal to goal, you can't be 33%. We have 1-3. Okay, if you're not going to get, let's say, 3 touchdowns, so count the extra point, 21 points, well, that has to be at least 17 when you got goal to goal. You cannot go 1-3 when you're in goal to goal. That's even beyond the red zone. You know what I mean? It's like, what? Yeah, we're in the red zone. Yeah, we're, it's goal to goal to score. So, I mean, that has to be, like I said, not 100%, at least you're getting 17 points, if not 21. Now, looking at the total on net yards, they had 405. Did it really seem like we ever really stopped them? No. I mean, it was like they were imposing their will on us and controlling the line of scrimmage. I think at halftime, they were averaging right under 6 yards a carry. Well, they ended up at 5 yards a carry. Look, Hunter averaged 5.7. Waters, 5.4. Kendre Miller averaged 3.7. Chandler, 3.5. Our leading rushers were our quarterbacks. I shouldn't say that. Donaldson had 3 carries. He had a long run of 9 yards, so he averaged 5 yards. But Rattler averaged 4.2. Wilson, 4.8. But there, Stetson Bennett, I mean, even though Ty Simpson, where they drafted him, he's their backup quarterback. I think our backup quarterback right now, I guess Spencer Rattler. I look at Zach Wilson. I mean, I really don't know. I don't know who the kicker is.
No, after last game, you had that all that hype around Wilson and just fell flat today.
Yeah, you got to take advantage of those opportunities, and if you don't, you know, they tend to go in a different direction, and you won't end up laughing. I mean, lasting. Now, yeah, it was laughable. The penalties, again, you've heard me say this, beating
over
a dead horse.
Over. Yeah, it's like, come on, Dad, I've heard this
9 penalties or more are 100 yards. If you just do 1, 9, that's like giving up a touchdown. If you do 2, like 9 or 100 plus, that's like almost a touchdown and a half. So let's just say 10 points. Even with that 10 points, we still get waxed. 12 penalties, 96 yards. Last game against the Jags, I think we were penalized a lot too. And look, undisciplined, like alignment, illegal procedure, or whatever it might be. And Kellen Moore, Coach Moore said, no, it wasn't the officials picking on the Saints. No, they were really penalties. And we have officials at practice. So you think you would learn from that. I don't know. The only positive, our net punting average, we won that.
Woohoo!
You know, when you're trying to flip the field, the hidden yardage, we were at 41.5 compared to 37.5. But when you try to look for something positive, I know we have the right punter to excel in that regard. Now, looking at Rattler, quarterback rating of 60, Zach Wilson, a quarterback rating of 28. That's not winning football, bottom line. But again, you throw in the turnovers. They each had an interception. And one of them was miscommunication with Bub Means, I think, with Zach Wilson, that interception. But then there was one play, Zach Wilson to Bub Means. I know he was trying to avoid the linebacker, so he kind of threw a little more in the middle. And I don't know if Bub Means had different body lean, but the ball was actually coming way out in front of him, and he tried to kick it. So what, you're going to kick and pop the ball up and get it intercepted? Look at that if you can replay. I think it was a third down pass.
It might have just been instinct there for whatever reason to stick your foot out.
Because he was maybe frustrated.
Yeah.
Don't stick your foot out. If you hit the ball when it pops up, that'll be on bloopers for life. You can't do that. We're not playing soccer or football.
Well, as it is, I told you during the game, after that 100-yard pick six, we're going to see that highlight all week against the Saints.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be a preseason highlight, NFL Network, that they'll utilize and put that on there. But you can't stare down the receiver. You have to look off, especially in those small windows you're going to have with that extra defender being so close to the goal line, with defenders using the back of the end zone. This is never good. When your leading receiver is the running back, not only receptions, but targets. Donaldson ended up having four targets, four catches, 51 yards. He had that long gain of 32. Eminem, the tight end, he was doing good, but then he gets hurt.
Got popped in the leg.
Yeah, three catches, three targets. I don't know, I said this at halftime. Sometimes it's like I'm watching the game, and it seems like every time we get, not every time, but a lot of times, seems like every time we get tackled, we get hurt. And so, what's up with that?
That's why Kellen doesn't want to play the ones.
We got to keep him. We have to have the right guys ready for week one against Detroit. We play like this. Kellen Moore, if we play like this against the Lions, Kellen Moore might, towards the end of the third quarter, just call up the NFL front office and say, just run a running clock. And a real game that would count. No, it was that discouraging. But looking like Bub Means, looking at the outstanding game and, getting on the Saints' radar to make that final roster in the back end with the wide receivers against the Jaguars, had a good game. He caught their attention. Well, this game, not so much. Four targets, only one reception, 4 or 5 yards. Who stood out for them? And I remember him. He didn't do much for LSU, but he did – something for the U, and he probably, Steve, Matthew Stafford probably will hardly even throw him the ball. Because when you got Puka Nacua and then
Devontae Adams,
but look at Daniels. He went to Liberty, remember, transferred to LSU and played with Miami last year. 13 targets, 8 receptions. He had a long gain of 17. That's how I remember him, that he actually got better leaving LSU and going to Miami to get
Thanks, Brian Kelly.
Yeah. Maybe he wasn't utilizing him in the right way. When it's bad, Steve, that when you're looking up, and that was right, you gave him a game ball, or what do you call it, the diamond in the rough. Yeah, the diamond in the rough sermon, Mr. Sermon. And if you look, Bobby, who's that? Jackson Sermon. He looks the part from Cal Berkeley, from Cal 62240. Isn't his dad the coach or something? So he's this way. But he ended up with led the team in unassisted tackles with 5. He had 11 total tackles. Styles, at times, you could see they're picking on him. Well, they were picking on everybody.
Martin Emerson Jr. early on, too. They just kept peppering him.
Yeah. Yeah, they were. And that's our veteran free agent. So that's why I say Quincy Riley.
Be healthy.
That growing better not be serious. But looking at Reed, he ended up with 7 total tackles, had a special teams tackle. He's a safety. We talked
about Justin Reed, but Mike Reed.
Mike Reed, yes, from South Dakota Coyotes. Not Jackrabbits, not South Dakota State. We love those South Dakota players. But here, from South Dakota Jackrabbits, he had 7 total tackles. A tackle on special teams. I thought he had a pass breakup. I didn't see that in the stat line. But look at Emerson, the veteran. He had a pass defended. He got picked on a few times. But it was really nothing to write home about. This is when you might say, regular season, that was a debacle. We got to burn the tape. No, you need to learn from the tape. And all these guys, these second and thirds guys, they got to watch this and to see what it takes if they want to be an NFL player. But that was embarrassing. I don't care if it's preseason. That was an embarrassing representation of the Who Dat Nation and Yarlin Saints. It just wasn't good.
The curse of SoFi Stadium.
And the curse, and look, we try not to get shut out, and we can't make a 39-yard field goal to make 3 points. So there's a lot of question marks, and the season's going to be here before you know it. Wednesday, they're going to be practicing Wednesday night at Tulane Stadium. The public's invited. And Friday's going to be here before you know it at Dallas to play the Cowgirls. And then it counts. And you better pack a lunch because the first two games, Detroit and Baltimore, they better turn things around. Right now, I would say what I've witnessed so far, now is this preseason, and Bobby, it's not the ones, but overall, I think what it's going to take, I said I'm not going to be discouraged if we're 0-2, but that might be the case. Now, the Raiders, that third game when we open up the dome, the regular season when it counts, no, that's like a must win. We got to beat the Raiders because I look at Detroit, where they're going to be at, is one of those dark horse NFC teams. Not that they can overtake the Rams or the Seahawks, but I think they're going to be in that number in the hunt. So it's not like we got – like last year, you remember? I said, man, we can agree 1-0. We're going to beat the Cardinals. And we had an opportunity, you remember?
Mm-hmm.
The Cardinals didn't do anything last year. The Cardinals are considered one of the worst teams like the Jets. So it's not going to be an easy start for this year. Plus, you're going on the road, but – we've actually been as good on the road as of late as we are have been in the dome, which we got to turn that around. But that's kind of where we're at right now. You got to take your medicine, and you got to be able to handle it. And we need a lot of tough love. Tyler Shuck, I'm glad that you're getting everybody all fired up, and you're taking over the hype.
The pregame hype speech.
Hype, but that don't. I was about to curse. That don't make a you-know-what. Man, you got to go there and freaking play. Well, you get all hype. Well, yeah, that really helped, huh, to get all the team fired up, the guys to play. No, that to me is so overblown. That was Drew Brees' thing. And if they want to keep doing it, fine. Social media, that's all a good thing. Get everybody all excited. Look at Tyler Shuck. He really loves the team. You know how you get love back? You got to freaking win.
Just win, baby.
Yeah, you can't like, we're playing hard and we're trying. No, it's not. You don't get participation trophies.
And usually the last preseason game of the year, which is going to be Friday against Dallas, you don't see the starters playing in this one. But we haven't seen starters at all this in exhibition play. What's the plan? What would you do going forward here? Would you play Shuck at least
the
series?
I always wanted to play. Listen, because it's a game, and actually you might want –
okay, that's why I'm trying not to get overworked over the preseason
don't you want,
right now.
I know. I always wanted to, every year, I always wanted to get hit.
Get that first one out the way.
Yes, and because they don't hit you in practice. And you can, how many times you see, that was a great pass. Oh, he would have been sacked. He never would have got rid of the ball.
True.
The speed of the game. So to me, I don't know, maybe I'm old school about this. Now, I think Andy Reid thinks this way when he's healthy, like Pat Mahomes. Remember, Pat Mahomes would play every preseason game, whether it's a series or whatever. But you start the game. I've even, sometimes you've played in games, and you'd even, like, play a half and go in at halftime, make adjustments to play the first series in the third quarter, then get out. Or let's say you're playing at the beginning of the game, and you have a nice 10, 12-play drive or a scoring drive, whether you score a touchdown or field goal, then you get out of the game.
I've seen enough, right?
Or if you go three and out, no, that's only 6 plays. Get back out there and try and get some first downs and get a drive going. I don't know. You just want that positive vibe and that rhythm. To say that Tyler Shuck's not going to play until the Lions at Detroit, I don't know. Maybe that's the way they do it this day and age because they pay him so much freaking money. Oh, we can't get him hurt. We need him well. But, I could tell you who I wouldn't play for sure, Chase Young. I'm not worried about Chase Young.
You've seen enough, you know he's ready.
What? Chase Young, that was an embarrassment by the Saints team, what they put out there in Los Angeles. But that's not Chase Young. You know what I mean? You're playing a team sport and you are part of the team. But when Kellen Moore, I don't know what kind of tough love he's going to do. Did Kellen Moore ever really get mad? I don't know. He seems so nice. I don't know if he's ever mad. I always said this. I'd have to talk to his wife and his kids.
You have to ask Mrs. Moore.
Yeah, that scenario. But, no, the coaches, they need to be tough love on these guys trying to make the team, because they're still on the team right now till they get cut for the Dallas game. So this week, you're watching that film and say, like, oh, what are you doing? You can't play in the NFL if you keep jumping off sides or your line, whatever it might be. What's your responsibility? And so that's what you have to address right now, because I think it's like all the time, not all the time. Sometimes I see it's all about kumbaya and that we're all supporting one another. It's like, oh, you know, we all need to go to therapy. No, maybe you got to go to therapy. I don't got to go to therapy. I know what I have to do. You know, and that's the whole thing. And there's nothing wrong with that if the therapy helps. But the bottom line is you got to win. You know, and that was embarrassing. And I mean, did it look like we even belonged, even the scheme? You might say, well, Bobby, that's our backups against their backups, whatever. But just the overall scheme in McVay and all, and that Ram swagger. Right now, no, I mean, like, Puka Nacua, Miles Garrett, and then we did the pregame show today, and Aaron Donald is coming back.
That's all they need.
Oh, Aaron, what? These guys that are kicking our butt, well, that was against our backups again. These guys that were winning the game for the Rams, they're going to be on the streets. They're going to be selling insurance or doing something else or might be on another team. No, it's going to be hard to make that Rams team because the type team they have and the depth that almost have to be on special teams. And that's a frustrating team to make, or a frustrating situation for yourself. If you know you can play but might be wrong place, wrong time, I got to go try and make a lesser team because the Rams are that talented.
Folks, you can sound off on our talk and text line here on The Point After, 504-260-1870. Love the fact we got a bunch of lines lit up already, Cajun Cannon. Shout out to all you real Hoodats, Hollywood, Eon, Andrew, Ryan, Kevin. You can be in that number too, 504-260-1870. Right now we're going to pause 10 seconds, let stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints radio network. Going to head to a break right now. The Saints falling 34-0 to the LA Rams in LA there. We're going to take that break, come back with all your calls right here on The Point After. Keep it locked on the New Orleans Saints radio network.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before, and that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Frustrating Point After here on the New Orleans Saints radio network. Black and gold getting blanked by the LA Rams 34-0. You can chime in on the Oakwood Heart Chulers talking text line, 504-260-1870. Hollywood in Thibodeau, you are up first, man. Thank you so much for calling in. First off, keeping me and Bobby company. What you got to say, Hollywood?
Hey, Bobby. Hey, Steve. How y'all doing?
All right, Hollywood. You know, I've had better days or better yeah. day, better ways to spend my afternoon, put it to you that way.
Bobby, the only thing good about this game, we still 0-0.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and why we can't execute a 4 inches? We can't even get that right. That's a 4 inch. And they got a flag, and they got 12 men on the field twice.
No, that's coaching. When you have too many men on the field, you practice how you're going to substitute, and then you cannot afford, even if it's like, not 4-1, if it's 3rd-1. You know the percentages to go from 3rd-1? Oh, you jumped off sides. That was 3rd-6. No, you got to, then you don't make it, then you got to punt. No, you can't shoot yourself in the foot like that. The NFL is too good.
Hey, Bob, I need you to do me a favor.
Okay.
I need you to call me Hollywood Swinging because all my fans said, do not get rid of that nickname on radio, right? You can handle that for me?
Yeah, right, Hollywood Swinger. Yeah, we love it when Hollywood Swinger calls. Yeah, Hollywood Swinger.
Yeah. Hey, Bobby, I still say we could beat either Detroit
or Baltimore.
The Ravens. I still think we could go 1-1.
I hope so.
We got to show up and play with energy. They don't even have no energy. I know they got backups, which is their tools, but the Rams got backups as their tools. but the Rams do everything right, and it's like we do everything wrong.
No, that's a spot on observation, Hollywood. And no, listen, we have to be fortunate and have luck with injuries and all that. That's why I think it's going to be imperative. We talked about the injury report because going in to this preseason game, we have three starters and three guys you're going to be counting on that are injured. Okay, you look, Brian Brzee out. Alvin Kamara, not the Detroit game, maybe the Baltimore game where he's at with the strained ligament.
Hopefully.
That's it. And then Quincy Riley.
Jordan Tyson.
Jordan Tyson. Yeah, but he got to do something first. I know, even though he's number one draft pick, he's kind of out of sight, out of mind to me. But Quincy Riley, a cornerback opposite of Kool-Aid. I don't know. A lot of y'all have had if you run, and it could be at any level, if you have a groin pull or a hip flexor, and you got to be able to run, and you're like, oh, you can't run through that because it just gets worse. So hopefully that groin by Quincy Riley, and Deuce made the point in the pregame that they haven't brought in other veteran cornerbacks to say, well, we're going to need you because Quincy Riley might be out longer than we think. Or maybe you might think with Emerson, the veteran we got from the Browns in free agency, but he's been getting picked on. And he's made plays now and then. Let me see his numbers. What did Emerson do? He ended up having a pass defended, four total tackles, three unassisted. I would give Emerson the nod over Isaac Yiadom. And I remember Isaac Yiadom was with the Saints, and then he went to the 49ers. And he came back to the Saints. Brandon Staley was with the 49ers with him, and then he brought him back to the Saints. And Isaac Yiadom was the one that was starting off at the beginning of the season last year, but then Quincy Riley beat him out. And so I would give Emerson, to me, the nod over Yiadom when you're looking at, okay, who's that? I'm not talking about the nickel corner. Guys playing on the outside, who, besides Kool-Aid and I just said his name.
Martin Emerson Jr.
No, Martin Emerson is the one that's going to take his place. Quincy Riley. Besides Kool-Aid and Quincy Riley, who's that third guy? I would say Emerson right now.
Yeah, and Bobby, just a little quick injury update from today's game. Devin Neal, hamstring. Maliki Matavau, the tight end, knee. Lorenzo Styles, rookie with the calf. Torricelli Simpkins, a concussion. Bub Means, a hamstring. And then Brian Taylor, a stinger. So it was another showing where we had too many trips to the injury tent.
Did anybody go to the injury tent with their feelings hurt because they were getting humbled? My heart's pumping poo-poo. I'm getting overwhelmed out there. I mean,
I'm trying not to get too down just because we keep talking about it. It is the second string and third stringers. We haven't seen the first
team. Well, you got to have depth, though, but what if the first stringers go down?
Right, I hear you.
And we always say next man up. Well, the next man up is not going to be the first. Like if Chase Young goes down, nobody can take his place. No, he's a monster. But you still have to have some depth that you could be serviceable. Who was serviceable last year and made all the difference when McCoy went down?
I hear you, yeah. Luke Fortner.
Luke Fortner. Well, he's no longer there. He parlayed that into getting $4 million or $5 million, whatever, from the Panthers. So he's no longer there. That's the kind of players you need a backup, where they can step up and be a pro. Not like I'm just glad to be on the team. Oh, I won't have to play. I'm a backup. No, you're on the team. You're probably going to have to play. And not, I don't know, right now it seems like we should have two blue tents instead of one.
We might next game. Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah, and Jordan Tyson doesn't now. You showed me that on social media, but Jordan Tyson, the house he bought in New Orleans is a blue tent.
That was one of the fans' joke online, right?
He got a good deal, right? He got a good deal on that.
Going to take a break here on The Point After. Thanks, Hollywood Swinger, for the call. You can sound off as well, 504-260-1870. Coming back with more of your calls with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back into The Point After, folks, here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Deep breaths. 34-0 loss in the preseason to the LA Rams. Definitely wasn't a pretty showing, though. Going to go back to all your calls and texts. You can chime in 504-260-1870. Eon, you on the line, man. You always bring it. Welcome into The Point After. What you got?
Hey, guys. How you doing? You always bring it, too. You're the best. Okay, so the injuries that you can say, oh, it's bad luck. The players say, okay, these are not like going to be our regular players. But there's something, and I know Hollywood was kind of alluding to it too, something that starts to see that's really starting to be a pattern that I'm really worried about, even though it's preseason, and it's the coaching. It's the discipline. Like the team just, you know, not being disciplined, just not seeing any progress with this, even like last year. The too many, you know, men on the field, multiple times, the false starts. So it's not just the penalties. I think it's the timing of the penalties. And I'm just curious again, what you both think. Is this like, no matter who we put out there, is this starting to be a problem?
Or Amen.
Is it just kind of, yeah, or is it just like preseason
no.
coaches for them too? Okay.
No, it's a game. And I think you're a creature that you do develop habits. You know, I always say that, like creating turnovers, protecting the football. You know, you say like practice what you preach, but you got to practice what you actually by your actions do to talking. And no, you think it's all of a sudden you can be able to turn it on and off. We're not going to have penalties in the regular season. No, because we've seen this in practice. No matter if it's the ones, twos or threes, we got to be more demanding. You can't kill your team. That's a drive killer. And it could be whether you win or lose the game. Let's say, oh, that was an awesome play, touchdown. Guess what? It don't count. Illegal procedure. Oh, that was a nice play. Oh, we had a lineman downfield. No, it goes on and on. No, the NFL is too good, and the coach has to be more demanding on that. It has to be unacceptable and not like, come on, you got to be a pro. You got to be an adult. About this, and you got to have self-discipline. No, sometimes the coach needs to chew a little ass and get the players to be more aware. To me, I don't know, maybe players don't think this way anymore. They make so much money. And then, but to me, I was always fearful, like a number of players, we've talked about this, older players, that you were always fearful of like losing your job or this being your livelihood. Like, you know how Jerry Glanville said the NFL stands for not for long? Yeah, you keep doing that. Oh, it's not like, oh, my bad. You know, you hit yourself, oh, my bad. I'm going to turn around. No. If that's a pattern, and when you see it occurring, and it started last year, and games that counted. So, no, that's a reflection of the coaching staff and the players. And there's no two ways about it. The NFL is too good to be hovering around anywhere. Now, you're going to have like four or five penalties. Okay. But then you can't double that. Because you're having around eight, then you're hovering on getting nine or 100 yards worth of penalty. But it also depends on when are you getting those penalties in crucial situations. Like if you have something that's third and very manageable, third and one or fourth and one, and you get the first down, and it can't be where it doesn't count because we got a damn penalty. And now you backed up, and then you don't convert, and you're punting, whatever it might be. No, that'll cost you games. Eon, you're right on with that. I think that the penalties are you have to – and I think that behind closed doors, Kellen Moore might tell the coaches that we got to accept responsibility for that and that it is on coaching, and we got to make our team to be more disciplined.
Eon, you got anything else for us tonight?
No second-string coaches, though, so hopefully it'll get cleaned up.
Yeah, good point.
Always great hearing from you. Thank you, Eon. We're going to take a break here on The Point After. You can chime in as well, 504-260-1870. Saints lose a brutal one, folks. And we're not sugarcoating it at all. 34-0 to the L.A. Rams. Taking a break, coming back with more right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Back here on The Point After, New Orleans Saints losing a brutal matchup today in preseason action. Preseason action, so not trying to get too overworked. 34-0 to the L.A. Rams, but you definitely never want to be shut out in any kind of matchup. Going back to our talking text line, Andrew and Gretna wanting to sound off here. What you got for us tonight, Andrew?
Going on, Steve, Bobby, how y'all doing?
Managing.
All right, Andrew. You know, trying to keep it in the right perspective, but still, when you get waxed and shut out, I don't know if there's okay, you probably think something positive has come about this. So what could you say? Enlighten me, help me out.
See, I look back at last week, and I kind of looked over some of the takes that were going around after the Jaguars, and I thought, all right, well, a bunch of people were reacting, saying, who's this guy at the very bottom of the stat line dragging down the rushing game? Well, yeah, you know, 4 carries and 0 yards, that's C.J. Donaldson. And, you know, I don't look for these guys to come out looking like, you know, looking like all-stars in the preseason. I want to see week-to-week improvement. And I feel like Donaldson kind of, you know, punched his ticket today. I feel like, at least in the sense of, you know, he's looking like he belongs in the league. And you know, that's all you got to do in the preseason. You don't have to come out there and set the world on fire, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, well, you look at C.J. Donaldson, come on. There's a reason why he was at Ohio State. And he played for Ohio State. You know, they had a stable of running backs, and he did contribute. Now, in the end, that went in the national championship. But you know, C.J. Donaldson looks the part, 6'1", 230, the most productive, if you look at it. Now, only 3 carries, 15 yards. We had a long gain of 9. But more importantly, I don't know, he's involved in the passing game.
Leading receiver.
Had that 32-yard reception, 4 targets, 4 catches, 51 yards. So, yeah, if you look, he's available, he's healthy.
Knock on wood.
I mean, what I don't understand, I was talking with Charlie Long about this. How in the world can he be the workhorse for the Kansas Jayhawks and Devin Neal? Now he's hardly playing and he's like hurt. Like all of a sudden when he pulled up, like his, you could see on the sideline his hamstring, 2 carries. Yeah, that long gain of 4 yards, 7 yards. But I mean, they ran, maybe that was the case. Kansas ran him into the ground and maybe he got old fast. But Devin Neal, Charlie, didn't you tell me, you need to come, Charlie, didn't you tell me like all the carries that he never even got hurt at Kansas?
He played in 50 games in college, guys. Effectively 50 games. I think it was 49 is the exact number, over 4 years in Kansas. So he was an Ironman there. I mean, he owns a bunch of records for their rushing program and just has not exactly worked out as far as health goes with the Saints.
Yeah, it's been kind of like him and Kendre Miller. Now, Kendre Miller, if I can recall, he didn't play in the national championship game when they got waxed, but because he got hurt in that semifinal.
Correct.
And then so you kind of saw that injury history, but like that's puzzling to me, Devin Neal. Because remember when we drafted him, I was like, well, at least he was – always answering the bell for Kansas, and he was always there.
Could be
a
late-round gem.
Yeah, and just what Charlie said, he was always reliable. But now with the Saints, maybe, hopefully Kendre Miller's not his roommate or they're not hanging out because you're hoping that they can last a couple of weeks. God forbid a month to be able to contribute. So, yeah, right now, if you look at the running back room and who's available, C.J. Donaldson, big back. He might be one because people are getting all banged up in that running back room. Now, the one thing he has to be a workhorse is Travis Etienne, and that we're going to count on him. And Steve, who we had on the pregame, the Rams guy, they played with the Jaguars.
Maurice Jones-Drew.
No, he thinks that Travis Etienne, because they both played with the Jaguars running back, that was a great signing. So, yeah, if he's the workhorse and can stay healthy, but he'll need to still get spelled.
Plus, I don't think Achan's that between the tackles, pounded up the middle kind of back.
We're not going to give him the ball. And really, you don't give running backs the ball very seldom over 25 carries. You know, it used to be old school, like Earl Campbell and all them, then or Derrick Henry. You give them the ball 30-plus times. They don't do that anymore. Right now, if you're hovering around 15 to 20 carries, that's a lot. It'd be more like 10 to 15, and then you get him the ball in space, and then you also look at the touches instead of just the rushing carries, more as a pass receiving running back and running the football.
Thanks for the call, Andrew. You can sound off, too, on our talk and text line. It's 504-260-1870. Saints falling 34-0 to the Rams in preseason game number 2. They still got one more exhibition game left. That'll be Friday at the Dallas Cowboys, and a late game, a night game for us, a 7 o'clock kickoff. We're going to come back with more of the point after, though, right after this. Keep it locked on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Please don't get embarrassed by the Cowgirls.
Drink up, baby. Fantasy Football Happy Hour is here to get you wins and have some laughs. Matthew Berry here, and my podcast, Fantasy Football Happy Hour, has the sleepers, busts, and starts and advice you need to win your league. We're diving into the tape, we're crunching the numbers to bring you sleepers, busts, weekly starts and advice, Whether you're defending a title or desperately avoiding last place, I've got you covered every single weekday. The bar is open. It's Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, wherever you get your podcasts.
Offense, defense, special teams, none of it went right today for the Saints. We're back here on The Point after a 34-0 preseason loss to the L.A. Rams. Going back to our talk and text line, 504-260-1870. Chuck B. on the line. What you got for us tonight, Chuck B.?
How you doing, Steve? What's up, Bobby?
All right, Chuck B., you doing any DJ lately, or are you kind of...
All the time, man. You know, I'm back, you know, home on the regular now since, you know, mom's going and stuff. And, got some things moving, man. Everything's good.
So what do you think where the Saints are now? Because you a long member of the Hoodat Nation, and I think you have honest opinion on where the team's at. So go ahead.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I heard you use the word demanding, right?
Right.
And I watched a special on ESPN on the 49ers and Coach Bill Walsh, right? And the guy Winston in one of the John Wick movies says, "How you do anything is how you do everything." Bill Walsh was so meticulous in every step, every route, every technique, everything, right? Because it's the small things on a consistent basis. Don't worry about the big picture. Do your job, do all the fundamentals, all those small things that matter, and then watch and see what the big picture ends up being. So when you cut off your route, that's supposed to be a seven-yard route, and you run it at 5.5 or 6 yards, that's the first down that you just missed. It's small things like that. Or if you block your guy to the wrong side, now the hole doesn't open up where it needs to be. All those small things matter. I'm looking at the coaching staff and the front office from there to even the doctors. Do the Pelicans and the Saints have the same medical staff? Because it seems like they both always hurt and their conditioning can't get right. Or we get guys who come here and they can't stay healthy no more. I don't know.
Well, you know, Chuck B., I think we're far enough in camp. They have OTAs, mini camp, and training camp. That there was way too much miscommunication because you didn't see that maybe. Well, you didn't see it in the Jaguar game between Bub Means and Zach Wilson. Bub Means had 4 targets, 1 catch. I mean, it just seems like ball placement. And it could be like, well, maybe Zach Wilson is not that accurate, Bobby. Yeah, but not all the time. But you got to get to the point where you're anticipating. And it just seems like maybe, like you said, is it precise route running or anticipation of throws and being accurate? And Spencer Rattler's played too much football now in the NFL. He knows the speed of the game. You can't stare down the receiver right there in the goal line. I'm not saying it would have been a pick six, 100 yards, but that was just the interception waiting to happen, you know, with your eyes like that. And I think Zach Wilson and Spencer Rattler, they played too much football to not have more success than the output today.
So it's a combination of one of the three things for me, and it's all I got. Either your coaching staff isn't able to coach up the guys the way they need to. They don't have the right mentality or the right stuff on the inside. The guys really revere them as a head coach, their knowledge, their everything, and you're really looking at this guy to really get you better. You know, either that isn't there or we're drafting the wrong guys who are not able to pick it up, or they're just not good enough. Like your evaluation of the guys that you're bringing in are just wrong from the get-go. Like, you got a whole draft. You're picking number 8. Why are we drafting the guy that has a history of all of these injuries? You got other guys, because again, if he's not available, I don't care how damn good he is, he's no good on the field because he ain't there.
Right. If you're not available, how can we hold you accountable and help us win? I mean, he's well, but he ain't well. You know the old saying?
Which means you just blew a whole draft choice, and you could have got the safety that the other guys took behind you that would have helped your team, and that guy's been consistent. Well, it's stupidity, man.
Well, Chuck B., you know, I'm going to beat that horse. If Caleb Downs is a difference maker for that Dallas defense, which I think he will be, and help him get to the postseason. I don't know about a Super Bowl, but if he's a big difference, then no, you got to reflect
really
him. You got it. Okay, so you rolled the dice on Tyson. But look at the upside. But yeah, but look at the down, always hurt. Versus Caleb Downs, there was no team that was against Caleb Downs.
None.
As far as the position, what he could bring to the defense.
So now you're back to the front office and the coaching staff. Because if you're not smart enough to understand, this is the eighth pick in the draft. I'm not rolling no dice.
Right.
You don't roll the dice in the first round. Damn.
No, if you're the eighth overall pick, we ain't developing nothing. They got to play from the get-go.
I feel that.
And I don't know. To me, if you're a late first-round pick, maybe we're trying to develop you. But no, if you're in the teens or in first round, no, you got to play from the get-go. Look, like Cam Jordan was a steal, how he was always available. Well, we took Cam Jordan in the early 20s. To think about that production. So
able to build a roster.
Yeah, the only player that the Saints off the top of my head that I can recall that they had patience with, and it came to fruition, and it took like 3 or 4 years, and he can run, he can stretch the defense, was Robert Meacham, who at the beginning was like, man, we drafted him too high, but then they had patience, and then mentally it started clicking for him, and it started becoming second nature. And then Drew Brees bringing him along and all that. Now, that was one that the patience was, it was worth having patience with him and his development. But as far as if you drafted like top 10, man, you got to be a stud from day one. You know who's a bust? And I don't care if he makes the Saints or not, if he'd be number two or number three. If you're the second overall pick, Zach Wilson, you want to talk about a big miss. Think about that. I'm not talking about Jamarcus Russell purple drink miss, but it's along those lines.
Sure, and you can't just blame the Jets because he's been a few places now.
Yeah, exactly. And if Zach Wilson, if Sean Payton didn't think to keep him around with the Broncos, or you look at the Dolphins, it was not with the Chargers. That coach,
Mike McDaniel.
Mike McDaniel, the kind of the nerdy guy, whatever. It don't matter. He knows football. But, so how did they think about him? And nothing against Zach Wilson. He's a handsome young individual. He looks good. But talk about being overdrafted. He never can live up to the expectation considering where he was drafted. And it's not exact science. It's hard to find a franchise quarterback. I still think with the 40th pick, it has to play itself out. Tyler Shuck, that is truly value. And where we got him to lead the Saints. Now we've got to wait and see how it's going to unfold. But when you drafted like where Zach Wilson was, Jamarcus Russell, Ryan Leaf, all of them, no. You can't afford to miss those guys. And what's going to come up with this draft coming up? Oh, this is the year of all the quarterbacks, right? There might be 5, 6, 7. You think they all working out? Whatever. You're like, oh, well, wait this year. They're going to tank for Arch or all the Oregon quarterback. You go on and on. You might say just a handful. I guarantee you maybe 2 out of the 5 is really going to work out.
Cajun Cannon, we are getting booked up here on The Point After. Everyone's sounding off on our talk and text line, 504-260-1870 after a rough one, black and gold falling 34-0 to the LA Rams. Just the preseason. That's my only caveat here. I'm trying to pump the brakes and relax myself after going through this with all you folks as well. We're going to take a break, coming back with more of The Point After here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. You heard the numbers. Use them to hang out with the Cajun Cannon here on The Point After. Saints falling 34-0 to the LA Rams. Going right to the line, Ken in New Orleans. You're up next here on The Point After. What's good, Ken?
Hey, Bobby. How you doing? My biggest problem is the coaching. Everybody think Kyler Moore is the Saints heaven coming in. I feel they picked the wrong coach. Not only think they picked the wrong coach, and their drafting was terrible. The coaching they have right now is not that great. I'm thinking Mr. B was living right now, there would be a different concept. They're trying to get the thing they had before with the quarterback they had before, previous quarterback they had before, what's his name?
Wait, that was on the Saints, the previous, what are you talking about? Like pose Drew Brees?
The Heisman Trophy guy. I mean, I'm not a Drew Brees. Brees. I'm trying to Brees. That's what I'm
saying. Oh, okay.
I'm in Florida, but yeah. They're trying to find another Brees and Sean Payton. That's not going to happen, man. That only happened once in a lifetime.
Well, Ken, if you're not okay, which coach would you wish the Saints would have went after if not Kellen Moore?
There was a whole bunch of coaches, Bobby. I really can't say, but I don't think. The guy we have now is a fit for the team because he won a Super Bowl with the Eagles.
It was the offensive coordinator, and that Saquon Barkley and Jalen Hurts. How he utilized, and you look at that Eagles offensive line, and Kellen Moore parlayed that and took advantage of
Philly sure misses him.
How they called the game. All I know is this, Ken. Now, that was just what I experienced. High school, college, professional, anytime I was on truly a winning team, the coach was like a jerk. Or you didn't necessarily hang out with him. It was all business. And it was tough love.
You weren't hanging out with Coach Mora?
No. Coach Mora wasn't hanging out with nobody. It was like, you respected one another.
Yeah.
But no. It wasn't no buddy-buddy systems. I told you, one of the nicest coach I ever had was June Jones, but we never won anything. Now, he helped put me in the Pro Bowl. I acknowledge and appreciate that. But as far as the team concept and being demanding and winning, I mean, can you ever think could you ever observe Kellen Moore doing a woulda, coulda, shoulda speech? Or could you ever observe like Kellen Moore, like what Coach Moore did with the Colts playoffs,
I definitely would have loved to have been a fly on the wall in the locker room today after this one.
Yes. I
want to know what was it like behind the closed doors?
Yeah, like, did he say it in a calm voice? This is unacceptable. There's a lot of changes that are going to be made or whatever it takes. A lot of y'all need to look in the mirror. If you want the NFL to be your life, I don't know. Because Kellen Moore is so even keel, I don't know if we're winning or losing. And if you win, it doesn't matter. But when you're not winning, they go, I wish our coach cared more. Kellen Moore cares. But I don't know, maybe that's just his character. And not everybody has to be a hard ass, Bobby. No, I understand that. Tom Landry, old school with Dallas, he was stoic. You look at the different emotions that come around about Joe Gibbs. They probably, I look at him with the Redskins, old school. He was kind of on the sidelines, very demanding. I think Bill Walsh is a little more. But you have different personalities. The bottom line is have to win. You see Parcells show a lot of emotion. Who Sean Payton, that was his mentor. You look at Bill Belichick. Now, it does matter. If Belichick is the greatest coach ever, why isn't he winning in North Carolina? So the players do make a difference in how you motivate them. So all I know is the bottom line is how you viewed as a coach. Are you winning or not winning?
Going to go back to our talking text line. And Benny in New Orleans East, you're up next here on The Point After. What you got for us tonight, Benny?
How you doing, Steve and Bobby? This question for you, Bobby, and for you too, Steve. Let's be real. Now, first of all, when we hired Kellen, we realized we are in a rebuild, correct?
Correct.
Okay,
yes.
We're in our year two of a rebuild. And I looked at it today. We had a lot of twos and threes playing and stuff. But I think our depth on the Saints roster isn't as good as L.A. That's why L.A. is predicted to win the Super Bowl. I think that if we have injuries across the board anywhere, on both sides of the ball, we're going to have issues. So I think our concern is to build up the depth. And, of course, Tyson, I don't want to keep harping on that receiver with the soft tissue. You know about that, Bobby.
Yeah.
And I think offensive line, we got that guy, 65, from Georgia. He shows some potential. But we just had a poor outing I don't know if it's the humidity. I can't blame that because it crashes down here in New Orleans. You're talking about
It's hot in L.A., but yeah. it's not New Orleans hot.
Tell me this. When will it come down to? Now, he's going into year two. My partner said, oh, man, we're going to get 10 wins. I realistically.
10 wins? We need to have parade. If we get 10 wins, we need to have a damn parade.
I'll be in that number for that, for sure.
My prediction is 7 or 8.
And that's about right.
Yeah, but looking at the roster, looking at our roster, looking at who we got to play, understand injuries are going to come. You know, we might have to do some patch-up work on certain areas of the defense, certain areas of the offense. So that's going to happen. But I realistically look at, okay, we go 7 to 8. But my bottom line is, when will we put somebody's feet to the fire as far as who's making these selections on draft day? Who's the guy say, I'm the man, I'm putting a stamp on this, go with Tyson? Who's that guy that's doing that? Because somebody's got to be held accountable. You know what I'm saying? God bless him, Buddy DiBro, and say, who is the player evaluator? Who is that guy?
Well, I think they do it with a lot of input, like Jeff Ireland with Mickey Loomis. I think Kellen Moore has a lot of say-so.
Okay. I would think he has to give that stamp of approval, for sure.
And they're thinking we got to get Tyler Shuck more offensive weapons, considering we scored the least amount of points last year. So that's why. But see, like, you look where we at compared to the Rams. For instance, if you look last year, the last time we were at SoFi, this was in November of last season. Come on, that wasn't that long ago. Remember last season, it was Tyler Shuck's first career start. Now, this is we lost 34-10. So you look for all of a sudden the Saints to go. Now, it can be done because you see, like, teams going from worst to first. You look at the Jaguars. They went from, 3 wins to 13 wins. You see how teams can turn it around, but that's the outlier. That more than likely that we would go, I'd be disappointed if we were stuck at 6 wins this year. But if we were 7-10, I'd say, maybe I was hoping for too much. But I think it's not unrealistic, if we stay healthy, if we have a little luck, to be an 8-9 or 9-8. But to get to 10 wins, go from 6 to 10 wins, that's asking a lot. Now, because the NFC South, I just look at Las Vegas. They don't care who wins. They worry about making money. And how they have Detroit, the NFC North, going from worst to first. After them, they had the Saints, the second best odds to go from worst to first and win the NFC South. Because you look, a lot of people are disgruntled in Tampa.
Although V of A finally got paid.
Oh, see? Yeah, see, but this is, I'm just starting the beginning of training camp. When that all unfolds. So, yeah, you look at Tampa, now Baker. But all I know is when Baker's disgruntled, got a chip on his shoulder, he plays better. He was playing at MVP level the beginning of the year. Carolina, they won the division, but we beat them twice.
Lil Bryce.
Who's the Falcons quarterback? They still don't know what they're going to do. So, I don't know, 8-9 wins, and then you're in the hunt. Like last year with Carolina to win the NFC South, that doesn't mean you still could play on the level of the Rams or the Seahawks or whoever you might consider the best of the NFC to go to the Super Bowl. But right now it'd be baby steps. But I think, wouldn't you hope as a fan base that where we're at right now, that that'd be a big win, I think, for the organization. Considering we hadn't been in the playoffs 5 straight seasons, let's say we win the NFC South and we host a playoff game, I think that'd be awesome.
That's success.
That doesn't mean we're going to win anything, but we still would be trending in the right direction as far as look.
And I don't think that's unrealistic either.
No, and we need to hold the organization's feet to the fire and be that demanding. Oh, but we're rebuilding. It's a rebuilding situation. We got to be patient. No, we've been patient enough. And 5 years without being in the postseason, that's unacceptable. Realistically, to tell you the truth, us going to the Super Bowl in 2009, or 2009 season, 2010 Super Bowl, by 2030, I'm not saying, now, once you go to the Super Bowl, you want to win, by 2030, we got to get back to the Super Bowl.
It's a tough mountain to climb, though. You know it.
That's 2 decades. I look at the team, and we're celebrating 60th anniversary. I was part of a team never had a winning season, never went to the playoffs. It took 20 years. And we finally won 12 games, and that was a strike. We went, you know, won 12 games in 1987. Didn't win anything, but it gave the fans hope. Well, right now, by 2030, that basically would be the same thing, two decades. So you can't rest on, oh, we went to the Super Bowl 20 years ago. No, you've eventually got to turn around. This would be a situation to build upon that and go to the postseason, like right now, like 2026. And then, because look what Drew Brees and Sean Payton did. Nah, Bobby, that was Drew Brees and Sean Payton. Come on. But we didn't know that. They won three games before Katrina with Haslin. And Sean, then all of a sudden, we go from 3 wins to 10 wins. We're in the NFC Championship game. That was kind of lucky. We overachieved.
You know, that's part of it. The luck is part of it.
But think about that. From 2006, we're in the playoffs. Maybe it was more realistic what happened in 7 and 8. But in 9, we won the Super Bowl. So what if we can get back to the playoffs right now, and then by 2029, 2030, we go into the Super Bowl?
Bring back that winning playoff culture, at least.
Right, right, right. Now, Tyler Shug, the jury's still out. We got to wait and see. I think he's the answer, but you got to go do it on the field. I don't know. I mean, look, last year, well, Bobby, he finished strong. Look the games he started. But I'm going to play devil's advocate. Okay, did we beat a winning team?
Well, that, and I'll take another line from you. What have you done for me lately? I'll do it again. Do it this year.
Right. But again, yeah, do it again this year. But again, finishing the season last year, his first game he started, he lost to the Rams 34-10. The Rams are in the NFC Championship game.
Well, it doesn't...
He beat the Titans. I'm just saying, you have to look who he won. Now, you start out the season right now, and you have a good showing against Detroit and the Ravens, that's very promising. Because Detroit and the Ravens will be relevant.
Right now, Bobby, I think one of the main concerns for me is still that first quarter, starting games slowly, and you're in that hole right away playing catch-up. And whether first team, second team, whatever, that just can't be the case. That's a losing formula as well.
No, we have to get off to fast starts. And, Steve, I'm going to say this again because some people listening right now in the postgame didn't listen to the pregame. And this is so true, and Kellen Moore knows this, to get off to fast start. And we couldn't have got off to a faster start last year because I think we are a creature of the habits that you develop. Look in the dome, how we kick off. We almost take it to the house. Ty Chandler, 86-yard opening kickoff return, followed by Estime. He gets a 9-yard touchdown run the very next play. And I said, hopefully today we can get off to a fast start against the Rams. Now, that didn't happen, but we need to have this against the Lions. We need to have to happen against the Ravens to avoid what occurred last season when they were outscored 4-1, a little more than 4-1 in the first quarter. Do you know the Saints trailed at some point in all 17 of their games? So we're never like, no. Man,
never in cruise control.
No. We trailed in all 17 games, which is the most in the NFL. You look at the two teams that led the league in first quarter points. One was in the Super Bowl, one's in the NFC Championship game. The Patriots, 110. The Rams, 107. You know what? The Saints scored 29. Mm. What? It's amazing. Again, we won 6 games when I look at that. So getting off to fast starts, one of the reasons why I look at, like, the Patriots Rams, they were 26-8. And like I said, look at where they advanced to last season. And so that's just one area. And you know, I'm going to do this on the second guest show. I'm going to bring up Jeff Duncan wrote a great article on what the Saints need to do to have a chance even this year as far as – and it's three categories. It's kind of – a red zone scoring, and not just getting points, but getting touchdowns, getting off to a fast start. I'm going to tease you with this. Listen tomorrow night on the second
there
guess.
There you go.
And that the Saints could do this. Now, I don't know if they could do it, you know, in a turnover margin, all that. I don't know if they could do it, but if they do this, no. We will be happy with the results, and we will have a great opportunity, and I think we will win the NFC South, but we have to do this, which you got to go do it on the field.
Right now, Cajun Cannon, let's pause 10 seconds. Let stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints radio network. We still got another hour to go here on The Point After, folks. You can sound off with the Cajun Cannon, 504-260-1870. Coming back with more. Keep it locked right here on the New Orleans Saints radio network.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on The Point After, love all you callers that have been chiming in on this Point After about the Saints' 34-0 loss to the Rams. 504-260-1870 is the number to chime in. And want to look at this real quick before we get to our talking text line, Cajun Cannon. Currently at half, the Kansas City Chiefs have a 9-0 lead over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Chiefs kicker Harrison Butker just nailed a 69-yard field goal. It would be an NFL record if it was a regular season game.
69 yards. We can't make a 39-yarder.
No, we can't.
And we're in the NFL, right?
We are.
I mean, so think about that. 39-yarder, Tanner Brown. Come on. That's like an extra point. You got to make it, bottom line. You know, you're trying to make the team. And so someone will kick a 70-yard field goal, I think. It might happen this year. The Jaguar kicker, who was 3-for-3 last week, he's the one that has the record, 68 yards. So you will.
You figured someone could do it in Denver if it's the Denver kicker or they're visiting, just because the air out there.
Yeah, the air is so thin, the ball will travel. It might be 70 plus yards, but it's a game preseason, so good for him. But you're gonna have to have the record. You actually have to do it in a game that counts. So, but that's still very impressive.
Back to the talking text line, and Aaron in Mobile wants to talk about the QB situation. Welcome to The Point After, Aaron.
I'm about to spit some truth to y'all.
Spin it.
I might hurt some people's feelings, but here it is. When I look at film, I've been watching, I'm almost 50 years old. I look at a player who could take a team and elevate them to a level that they've never been before. Tyler Shuck, Louisville, 62%. It's like 62% completion percentage. He didn't do hardly anything, all right? He's broken up. All right, now you move over to Spencer Rattler. Went to South Carolina. What he did with them, didn't do nothing. You go to Zach Wilson. He had 33 touchdowns 1 year at BYU. Who they play? They don't play nobody. But if I give you four names, Spencer Rattler, Tyler Shuck, this old boy, Zach Wilson, and I say, I want Diego Pavia. Where's he at? He's on the street. Well, and the NFL ain't giving him one shot.
Well, he was with the Ravens. Did the Ravens cut him loose? I don't know. The last I heard, he's with the Ravens. He's not there anymore?
Correct.
Oh, well then.
So my question is, that's why I'm frustrated with the NFL. Because they go after these guys that can't elevate their own team in college. But yet a guy like Diego, who's a baller, who's a dog, I guarantee them Saints wouldn't be playing like trash like that. They had a Diego on the team.
Well, listen. Why? Okay, I can see the Ravens going with Lamar, but then you still have to have depth. So why all the other 31 teams? Why they didn't bring him to camp? And he's on the street right now.
With the NFL, look at the heart, man. They don't look at the heart.
The whole NFL's wrong. The whole NFL's wrong. Out of all 32, I could see a team missing out. And not wanting the personality.
I understand the heart comment, but it's not everything. We've saw that with someone like a Tim Tebow. Just wasn't cut out for the NFL.
Yeah, Tim Tebow had a big heart. If he'd have been more like a Taysom Hill type player, he probably could have had a 10-year career in the NFL and be a hybrid player. Whether you're a nutback on punt coverage, or whether you're a tight end, or whether you're an H-back. Instead of purely being a quarterback, you got to humble yourself. So, the best thing though, and look, he was unbelievable at Vanderbilt. I mean, what he did, how he led that team. But the NFL, sometimes they look at how vocal you are and how you're going to be in the locker room and all that. And
the Ravens opted to keep Tyler Huntley and Skylar Thompson over him.
Well, you know, and they have experience,
right?
You know, when I look at that. How you are in that quarterback meeting room. But I'm just saying, okay, if the Ravens released him, what, he's going to have to go to the CFL or UFL to get some experience and maybe get another opportunity because he is a football player.
Or who knows, nowadays he might end up going back to college football the way things have been going.
Yeah, yeah. That the eligibility is not over. So, but yeah, that's why when I look at if oh yeah, to say the whole NFL is wrong because he's not. No, and it's even with artificial intelligence, AI, you can't measure a player's heart and what it takes to truly make it. But a lot of times his attitude and his swag is good for social media and all that in the public, but not necessarily good. The NFL wants you to be humble and just let your actions do the talking instead of make it plays and do the talking. They want you to be more humble. It's just the way it is.
Cajun Cannon, we're going to go back to our talking text line with Ryan Destrahan. He's got another roster idea for the black and gold. What you got for us on the point after, Ryan?
Oh, great. Bobby, you might know this guy, Damian Ramos. He's kicking 70-yard field goals in practice. Oh, no, 65-yard field goals in his backyard. He's begging for a shot to play for an NFL team. He's posting, he's kicking kicks all day long, going to his workouts, kicked a 65-yard field goal just... He's in Baltimore begging for a shot to play for an NFL team.
The only thing is Tanner Brown and Charlie Smith, they've been kicking 65-yard field goals too. I saw Charlie Smith, they're practicing, make 4 out of 5 from 60-plus yards.
He went
to LSU, so he should get a chance with the Saints. What does that mean?
No. He set a record at LSU. He set a record, school record. I think it was like 69 or 68 kicks. I mean, he's.
But what's his percentage? He's not accurate enough. I think
his college career he finished at 79.3%.
He's worth a shot.
Well, yeah, right now with the kicker, you missed a 39-yarder, and the Saints kicker might not be on the roster. But to say that he would be the answer, I don't know about that. The only one that I think they have the right punter from Tulane.
Ryan Wright.
Ryan Wright, who was with the Vikings. Wright. And he better work out. They paid him a lot of money, and I think he will. Because we will win. He'll be in the top five. You have to look at not the gross, but the net punting average. And he had that one long punt, and then we covered well. So, because we need all the help we're going to get, whether it's hitting yardage, flipping the field, and all that. So,
but man, this is a huge concern right now, a plays kicker, Bobby. You know it. You've talked about it so much that it could be the difference between three games, one loss. That's a big swing.
No. Again, what it could have, should have, but no, what's the outcome of the game? If you make it, we win. You miss it, we lose. And all of a sudden, we're 6-11 because we didn't make the crucial kicks. And we made the kicks. Oh, we 9-8. And we won the NFC South. I think we're not good enough.
To miss 39-yard field goals.
Yes. And we're not, if we're going to win, I don't think we're going to crush nobody. We're not going to be like how the Rams crushed us. I don't think we're doing that to nobody. If we win, we can win.
20-17 kind of game.
Yes, exactly.
Going to take a break here on The Point After, coming back with your calls and even more right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We're back here on The Point After, Saints losing 34-0 to the Rams in preseason game number 2. Before we get him back into a little more football talk, wanted to point out Cade Anderson, former LSU pitcher, making his MLB debut today for the Seattle Mariners. Cubbies up currently 4-2 in the 7th inning. Anderson went 5 2/3 innings, gave up 3 earned runs, struck out 5, did give up 2 home runs, has an ERA of 4.76. Started out really solid. And then
yeah, it was like 1-1.
Right, Steve, exactly.
Right? Yeah, and then I said, oh, he's hanging in there. Well, I know who's happy when Seattle loses is that Charlie, because it helps.
He's
Astros.
Doing his happy dance.
Yeah.
With his Astros shirt on right now.
Yeah, right.
back into some football talk here on The Point After. Carlin Hammond, you're up next on our talking text line. What you got, Carl?
Hey, guys. The thing I feel disappointed in from the game is because it didn't seem like nobody was playing to make the team. You had the second and third string people in there, basically a job interview.
Hell yeah.
But
it didn't seem like nobody was like, this is the difference between me delivering pizzas, working at Home Depot or in an office. Even if we getting beat, I'm
going
not to snot out somebody. I'm going to make a play. I'm going to go for the extra. This is your life.
Carl's getting our call of the night, Bobby.
Hey, Carl, you are the call of the night, and I'll tell you, there's no sense. You have to have a sense of urgency. Do I want to be in the real world, or do I want to be in the NFL world? And you got to stand out. This is a lot of these players that they just go home, out there competing. No, you're not in the NFL. You're in the preseason. You're trying to make a team. That doesn't mean you're on the active roster. To truly get compensated, and if you want like to say, I'm a true NFLer, you got to last 4 years to get a pension. You know, and you got to constantly try and make the team. Carl, you're right on. It seems like, okay, who's truly playing with their heart out? Like, this is their Super Bowl. And what I mean by taking it one game at a time, I'm trying to make this my lifestyle, and I'm going to leave it all out there. No, it wasn't that passion that you need out there to truly be amongst the best. I'm not going to say you're going to beat the Rams, but you have to be.
Show me something.
Yes, and to show you how it could turn around so easy is that Spencer Rattler. Okay, don't stare down the receiver. Make a better decision then, and you score, you get a touchdown. Instead of that's a 14-point swing right there. So all of a sudden, and then you fumble, and you're trying to make the team and impress the coaches as a running back. And I think he has a lot of ability, but that ball has to be like gold. Ty Chandler, this ain't your first rodeo. 5 years, you come out of North Carolina, you're playing on different teams, and he knows what it takes. You can't let that ball get punched out. That's just the difference, whether you're in and out of the league or you play a handful of years, or if you have an opportunity to play two handfuls. Now, think about, and he's been with the Vikings before he came to the Saints. It has to constant. You have to be on the edge and fight to last in the NFL and to make the team. And I just didn't see that passion out there, Carl, and I think you observed that too. Not that we're going to win, but think about it. Okay, the second half, look, we were waxing the Jaguars the first half, right? Did we win the game?
No,
Jacksonville came back in the second half. We could have did that today against the Rams. Jacksonville came back, and we didn't even score in the second half last week. But look, it could have been 20, what it could have should again, instead of like 20 to 14, or instead of like 27-0. You know, just by executing in goal to goal inside the red zone. Those little things makes all the difference. And it could be, can the coaches trust you or with the opportunity that you're given? Now, you got one more audition. Carl, they got one more audition date. It's going to count Friday night for a lot of these players. And anytime you step on the field, I don't care if you're on punt coverage or kickoff coverage, whatever it might be, which assignment. Can you do it and make an impact and make a play? And that could be the difference whether you make the roster or not on the back end. There was no sense of urgency, Carl, like you said, as far as, I'm in the NFL. Watch me on TV. I'm playing for the Saints. No, you're trying to make the Saints. You're trying to last in the NFL. No, right now in August, come on, I had a son, T-Bob. T-Bob was at the St. Louis Rams. I seen him, my dad and I seen him play against the Colts, seen him play against the Chiefs. I couldn't go because I was doing Saints Radio. My brother went to see him play against Dallas. He did good in those games. The last preseason game is the reason why he didn't make the team against the Ravens. He had a terrible game. So therefore, he's not on the team. I mean, it's that demanding. And it's always, what have you done for me lately? And that's just the way it is.
An ongoing job interview.
It's ongoing constantly. You know, you go from high school. You go to college. Then you go to NFL. No, it's much is given, much is required of you. You can have all the God-given ability, but where's your heart at? And do you have that sense of urgency? That I want this to be my life. You know who plays like that? and he got picked on a couple of times and he made plays, is Jaden Price. Jaden Price, an overachieving defensive back from Kansas, goes to North Dakota State, and where he's at. I think that's a player that that he's done enough in camp that if all of a sudden, let's say that Jaden Price, that all of a sudden he doesn't make the Saints. I think the film he's put out there is that another NFL team will pick him up. You know, he's on the practice squad and then trying to make that active roster because you could see how much it means to him. It has to mean that much to every player trying to make an NFL team. Not just like, oh, I hope I can get through practice. No, are you getting better? Because if you're not getting better, you're getting worse. And take that approach day in and day out.
Carr, you get our black and gold star of the night. You got anything else to say?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that, like with the coaching, I think it's a cultural thing too, because you got to create that atmosphere. Hey, man, you got to put it out there. And I think they should have gave C.J. Donaldson the when he got that ball down there, say, you earned this chance. We'll run it three times with you in the red zone. Yeah. If you got the heart.
Yeah, that's a good point. I can tell you what, whenever a lot of times, look at Ohio State. When Ohio State got close to the goal line, they gave C.J. Donaldson the ball. So I don't know. He earned it, I think, based on what he did. And, you know, we're trying to look at a bright light. And looking, he had 15 yards of rushing, averaged 5 yards a carry, 3 carries. He caught 4 targets, had 4 targets, 4 balls for 51 yards. So he led the team with 66 total yards. So I don't know, throw him a bone down there. And then give him an opportunity to score whether instead of maybe Chandler.
Carl, our who dat of the night, Bobby.
Yes, and great observation because when he said this, that nobody was playing
to make the team.
To make the team.
Yeah.
Right. The sense of urgency. No, this is my, like, playoffs, Super Bowl. This counts. This counts for me. Whether I'm going
to play. Like in Rocky, there is no tomorrow.
Yeah, whether I'm going to play football or not. Whether this could be my job or I'm going to have to do something else.
Taking a break here on The Point After. Coming back with some podium audio right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into The Point After. The Saints falling in preseason play. Preseason play, I'll say that again, 34-0 to the LA Rams. We're going to check out what quarterback Zach Wilson had to say at the podium after the matchup. Here's Wilson.
Zach, what did you take from a game like that?
Yeah, it was ugly. But I think a good opportunity to see how guys respond. And then I always find, especially for a preseason game, like, you know, how many plays you'll go back and you kind of let, like, the crap of everything going on kind of get in the way of whatever your process and what your job is on the individual play. So for me personally, I'm excited to go back and watch it and just and see where I can improve and get better.
When did you find out you were going to start today?
I found out, I think, maybe the day before the game.
Talk about, like, kind of separating the different things that were going on around the game and this. Do you find that things like 3 joint practices in 7 days, and like, does that all add up when you're about to go into a preseason game like this?
I don't think so. It's hard to tell, like, reps for everyone else, but all I know is, you know, I think in the joint practice I throw 7 balls, you know. So for me, you know, that's no excuse. And I don't think it is really for the other guys either. I think the way that we have it structured, when you look at it that way, you could say that's challenging. But at the same time, I think the starters are taking majority of the first 2 practices, and that's why we're getting so much of the game. And so, you know, I personally don't feel like it's an issue, but I'm a quarterback, so who knows.
And what happened on the interception? Like, maybe a miscommunication on where Bub was going or something like that? Something happened there?
Yeah, we'll have to take a look at it. At the end of the day, 3rd and long, and I balls in my hand, so I got to take care of it.
Zach, independent of just today's performance, how do you feel like your week went here in Southern California?
Yeah, I thought it was good, man. I thought I learned a lot of good things. I thought I got better in certain aspects, and I thought you know, my understanding of this offense and what we're trying to do has grown. And I don't think that's always going to be a straight line, right? Like today was a little messy and there's going to be things I can clean up and do better. And I know the whole team thinks that as well. But, you know, I think we're trending in the right direction.
You have the interception in, like, you're in a quarterback competition like this one. Like, do you think it affected the following series at all? Like, either subconsciously or consciously, like, how do you kind of process that?
Yeah, not at all. And you know, I think every single play is like its own game, right? And it's like resetting, going back. What's my read on this play? What's my job, my responsibility? You know, mistakes happen. Every quarterback's going to throw a pick here and there. It's part of the game, and I think the best ones are the ones that can rebound and just continue to keep playing. And it was messy, so I'm excited to go back and see where I can improve. I mean, that's not even probably a play that I'm that upset at myself for. You know, there's other plays I think I could do better on, and excited to learn from it. I mean, it's hard to talk to you guys about it, but just something progression-wise, right, that I felt like maybe I was a little slow progressing on. And maybe from your vantage point, it was actually a completion or something too, but something that I just felt process-wise I could have gotten through quicker or gotten to an option better or hung with somebody on something or had better ball placement on something.
Were you disappointed with your performance?
I think it can be better. You know, I absolutely think it'd be better. It's going to be something we'll watch the film and see.
How do you kind of parse the, like, preseason of it all and all that while also like trying to pull those moments of, okay, I can be better here, I can be better here, I can be better here. And how do you kind of parse all of that out on your side?
Yeah, I think it's just not being emotional, just going through and watching the film and saying, you know, kind of taking each play, the learning responsibilities on each play and other reps other guys are getting as well. I think there's always learning experiences in it all. And yeah, I think that's really it.
That was Saints quarterback Zach Wilson after the Black and Gold's 34-0 loss to the Rams. Wilson on the day goes 6 of 12, 55 yards through the air with an interception. Also, he did rush for 19 yards, but really disappointing considering we were all high on the Wilson train after his showing against Jacksonville and didn't seem to have it today.
I was a little disappointed how the miscommunication between him and Bub Means, because they have practiced a lot together, and they seem like they're on the same wavelength.
Well, Bub talked about it too. That's my guy. He's my guy. I'm his guy.
Yeah, in the Jaguar game, and that was definitely not the case today. So that was disappointing in that regard. I thought the one big play, I don't know if it was late third or early fourth, I have to look, that I thought Spencer Rattler threw a ball that was a nice throw, a back shoulder, that Ronnie Bell has to come up with. He made one catch early. He ended up having three targets, only one catch. I think it was Ronnie Bell that was on the left sideline, and it was a back shoulder throw. You got to come up with that. Again, like I said, not good when the leading receiver is the running back, not only in receptions but targets, and that being C.J. Donaldson, who had four targets, four catches, who led the team with 51 yards. He had that long gain of 32.
Well, unless you're like an Alvin Kamara, because he used to do that.
Yeah, but he didn't do that last year.
No, not last year. I'm talking, you know, prime Alvin Kamara.
Right, but we need him to do that this year. He didn't do it last year, so bounce back. I don't care if him or
A-Chain.
Yeah, I don't care who does it. Like on a screenplay, on an outlet, whatever it might be. We need those type plays in the passing game. To help Tyler Shuck out in the quarterback, because that's, you know, you talk about yards after the catch. That is truly yards after the catch whenever. And that's a splash chunk play, because when you're talking about runs, and this is on the offensive line, a lot of times in the receivers blocking downfield, when you have a 12-plus yard run or when you have a reception of over 20 yards. No, that's whether it's a receiver, running back, or whatever, that's a chunk play, a splash play. And we had two of them today as far as in the passing game. Marino, Cropper, who has three names, he had one long gain of 25. CJ had that 32.
You always like guys with three names.
Yes, they always have a chance. If you have three names, there's something special about you. I always say that. And then you look at, like, actually, chunk runs. C.J. Donaldson had the longest run of 9 yards. Now, we did average 4 yards a run. We had 105 yards total, 26. But On the flip side, you know how we've been stopping the run overall? I think I've been pleased with our defense. But again, I've been pleased with our run defense with the ones. And the ones aren't playing in the preseason game. Because today, they ran the ball 30 times. They had the league for 151 yards, 5.0 average. But at halftime, I think that was closer to 6 yards a carry. And even at the end, that touchdown run that they had, what was that? Was it Hunter? I think it was a 12-yard run for the touchdown. It was like, seemed like 2 or 3 missed tackles towards the latter part of the game to make it 34-0.
Well, Cajun Cannon, we heard from Wilson. Now it's time to hear from Spencer Rattler. Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak was part of the media in the Saints locker room after the loss and caught up with Spencer Rattler. Let's hear a little bit of that audio.
From your perspective, just with the workload that's happened this week, do you feel like maybe this team as a collective group, maybe, I don't know if fatigue is the right word or whatever, but did you feel like maybe it was just a little off because of that?
You know, obviously we've put in a lot of work this past week with the two joints and the game today. So, you know, guys are going to be tired naturally, but you know, I feel like that's a perfect opportunity for us to come together and perform, you know, at our highest level we can. You know, you don't want to see guys go down and get banged up and stuff like that, which is always rough to see. But I thought guys played hard today. I thought, you know, fatigue is real, but we got to push through it.
Chris, like when the order changes like that, does it do anything for you in terms of, motivation is the right word, but how do you kind of process that and make that
attack? Starting order?
Yeah, going in the second half versus instead of the first.
You know, I feel like we did the same thing kind of last year. You know, it's preseason. You want to see what guys can do and put them in different situations. So whatever it was, you know, I was happy we got to play more ball this week for sure, being a full half. You know, just wanted to create a spark and try to get things going, and got to do better as a group there. But felt good today. Just wanted to go out there and be better than I was last week for sure.
And do you feel like that happened, obviously, scoring notwithstanding?
Yeah, no, I felt better this week. You know, I feel like I was a little too safe last week. Wanted to play a little more free and try to distribute to more guys this week, and feel like guys made plays. Cropper, Kevin, you know, CJ made great plays. Ty was good. So it's good to distribute to them and let them kind of catch and run and hit a few big ones over the top. Felt good.
That was Rattler after today's 34-0 loss on the day. He was 14 of 23 with 141 yards and an interception. He also ended up rushing for 21 yards for the black and gold, but obviously the pick six was a big downfall there. With a 100-yard pick six that, you know, you're going to see highlights of all this week.
Well, and I think you should know better, because he's played enough now in the NFL. You can't stare down the receiver. Look, if you look back and rewind that play, That could happen to him at South Carolina Gamecocks in SEC.
So two games for him now, two turnovers.
No, he's like staring down the receiver. The defenders are going to break on the ball. What he needed to do, I'm telling you, look at the film. If he'd have stared down where he was to try and hit it right in that seam, and the guy's breaking, if he'd have just swung it right quick and throw it the same time to the left, the back in the flat, touchdown. Simple as that.
Rolling on here on The Point After, and I'm scared for the next segment because it's going to be What's Bugging Bobby. And after this kind of game, I'm sure he's got a long list of stuff. We're going to come back with even more right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
What's bugging me? The Saints team.
Preseason play number 2, the exhibition game in the books. Saints losing 34-0 to the L.A. Rams. Time for the part of The Point After when we get into What's Bugging Bobby about today's game. That's brought to you by J&J Exterminating, Louisiana's largest independent exterminating company. Bobby, what is bugging you the most about today's matchup?
Well, I have to name a couple of things because they were...
I can imagine.
They're really outrageous. The one thing... The overall, I don't know if effort's the right word, but the sense of urgency. And like, no, this is your Super Bowl as a player. You know, when you look at the whole team from top to bottom, to lose 34-0, I don't care if it's second, third string, that's a reflection on the organization. You know, whenever you get, I know the Rams are favorites to win the Super Bowl and all that, but we're not that far. The Rams aren't 34-0 points better than us. Well, Bobby, last year in the regular season, we lost 34-10. When you say they're not that much better than us, but when we played them last year in November, Talishuk's first start, we did lose 34-10 instead of 34-0. So when I look at that, okay, I understand who we're playing. But we will not win this year. We will not beat whoever you perceive as the worst team in the NFL.
Arizona.
Arizona. The Jets. Or let's say even when the Raiders come to New Orleans. We can't be -3 in the turnover margin. And you damn sure can't be goal to goal and you have two turnovers in that regard. No, you're taking points away. And then you throw a pick six, it's a 14-point swing. So that's bugging me, -3 turnover margin. We're -2 right now for the preseason. We're +1 against the Jags, so that's bugging me. And the other ones, I want to see the Dallas game Friday night. Can we not have near 9 penalties or 100 yards? 12 penalties, 96 yards. No, that's losing football. I think even Kellen Moore acknowledged that. You're just shooting yourself in the foot. You're not winning. Because when the game is close, now the game is not close 34-0, but when the game is close and you have that kind of negativity as far as penalties, and when you're hovering around 9 penalties or more or 100 yards, no, you will lose close games.
And yeah, that first game was 8-66 against the Jags.
Yeah, that's too close to 9. So I want to see maybe can we have a game against Dallas going into the season before we play Detroit? I'm not even going to say 4 or 5. I'm going to say 6 because then we'll be trending in the right direction. So that's bugging me. Not taking away the football and not taking away the football and not protecting it. So, oh, yeah, and I wanted to say this, Steve. I didn't get to say this. I don't know if I've ever witnessed a preseason or regular season game. We had 0 sacks, 0 quarterback hurries, and 0 tackles for a loss. That's bugging me. Now, I'm going to say it again. I haven't witnessed too many preseason games or a regular game. You don't have at least 1 sack or at least 1 quarterback hurry or hit or at least 1 tackle for a loss. No, 0-for. 0-0-0. Now, I know the Rams are good, but they ain't that good that we have 0 sacks, 0 quarterback hurries, and 0 tackles for a loss.
You know, it's funny, you talk about that. I think about a guy last game we were raving about, and Michael Heldman. Did he even show up on the stat sheet in this game?
He had, Steve, one
tackle.
He had 1 tackle. Nobody showed up.
Right. No, I know. I don't want to single out one person, but was someone you wanted to, you were intrigued to see more of in this matchup.
The only one that kind of showed up is Sermon, from Cal.
Coach's son.
Yeah, with 11 total tackles. But no. No, it's nothing to write home about. Like Styles, they were picking on him. He ended up having a pass defending, 6 total tackles. But no, that's, Steve, because I've said in the past about penalties and losing the turnover margin bugging me. But that might be the number one bugging me now.
Yeah.
That we had 0 sacks. 0 quarterback hurries and 0 tackles for loss. I don't know, Steve.
Goes back to Carl, who wants to make the team.
Yes, effort, sense of urgency. I don't know if I've ever witnessed a preseason or regular season game where we've been going 0-for in sacks, quarterback hurries, and tackles for loss.
We're coming back with more of The Point After to wrap things up. We'll take you right back. Keep it locked on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network, folks. Closing shop here on The Point After. First, let's pause 10 seconds. Let stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Well, Cajun Cannon, the black and gold fall 34-0 to the Rams in this one. Definitely was not a pretty game to watch or pretty one to talk about either. And you get to do it again on Monday with Mike Dettillier on Second Guess.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, and I'm going to bring up, like I said, Jeff Duncan had a great article on things we need to avoid if we're going to have a chance. No slow starts, obviously way better in the red zone offense, scoring touchdowns, obviously not turning it over, and just field goal conversions. Are you going to make or miss the field goal? Last year we were dead last at 71.4%. No. If we do that again, we will not win and have a chance to win the NFC South, so hopefully that's not the case.
Saints now 0-2 in preseason play. Their finale will be Friday night against the Dallas Cowboys, which you can hear right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Cage and Cannon, it's been a fun one, even though despite the loss and the sad showing, thanks to all our callers. Say goodnight to the Hoodats out there.
It's always fun with you, Steve, all right? And Charlie. Bon nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Hoodat, go Saints.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.